Music and ideas are like nature. They build on the last thing. To make a thing that people like and accept, it has to emerge from the existing culture or environment. So if something jumps too far ahead, it won't catch on. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and today we're exploring how culture evolves. If you remember the movie Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox, his character played Johnny B. Goode on the guitar with the band, and the audience didn't know how to react to his crazy Jimi Hendrix-like solo because it was too far in the future. It was too hard for them to accept.
Well, it's an oldie where I come from. All right, guys, listen, this is a blues riff and B. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up, okay?
They loved the Chuck Berry hit Johnny B. Goode, which according to the movie hadn't been written yet, but it was very close to their time period, the 50s. It was the next thing. But when Marty McFly goes into a Jimi Hendrix guitar solo playing behind his back and sounding like hard rock of the 60s, it was too far ahead of its time. It didn't have any context they could relate to.
I guess you guys aren't ready for that yet. But your kids are gonna love it.
And the same thing happens in real life all the time. Back to the Future is a fictional movie that actually demonstrates very well how culture, science, and everything we perceive has to have a linear connection. Let's consider a 19th century inventor who almost invented the computer. Charles Babbage created a 15-ton contraption he called the Difference Machine, and it could multiply figures that were 31 digits in just 3 or 4 seconds. It was considered revolutionary and accepted by mathematicians as a groundbreaking invention. Another of Babbage's projects was his analytical machine, and though it was unfinished, it was on paper the first programmable computer. The analytical machine was a shapeshifter, which means it was capable of reinventing itself every time a programmer made new instructions. And this is the wonder of computers today. They build on what was before, and it changes itself both linearly and exponentially. Most of what Babbage laid out in his notes went unnoticed or forgotten, even though the Difference Machine was remembered and retained. The Difference Machine was a possibility in the minds of the mathematicians living at the time. But the computer had to be reinvented all over when technology for programming became the obvious next thing, when people were ready for it. Charles Babbage jumped ahead too far. His analytic machine was sketched out in 1837, but it disappeared from anyone's knowledge, and no one used his notes because they were forgotten from the landscape. It would be 100 years before an actual programmable computer was completed. And then it was like so many other inventions, more than one scientist or mathematician invented at nearly the same time. Igor Stravinsky's career began at a time when Romanticism was reaching its limits. The orchestras couldn't get any bigger, and the dissonance couldn't get any more outrageous within the confines of common practice harmony. His Rite of Spring took it to the edge, maybe past the edge, and the world reacted in kind. After the Rite of Spring, Stravinsky and other composers moved to smaller orchestrations, and neoclassicism appeared. Because the music of the Romantic era could go no further. It was stretched to the limits. Shortly after that, atonal music emerged. Stravinsky denied the progression to the 12-tone method invented by Schoenberg and the Second Viennese School, and he continued writing in his neoclassic style until Schoenberg died. It was known the two composers despised each other, so Stravinsky couldn't acknowledge the rightful passage Schoenberg laid claim to. But soon after Schoenberg's death, Stravinsky jumped on board with atonal music. Stravinsky may have tried to control the culture, saying he could change the course of music, but he wasn't as powerful as he may have imagined. Atonal music would have its place in the progression of music history, of culture. It was the next thing. It was adjacent. A scientist named Stuart Kaufman coined the phrase adjacent possible as a way of introducing mathematics into evolution. He said there are first-order combinations that lead to the next order, and the process just repeats itself. First-order combinations in evolution means you can't evolve from amoeba to sunflower. There are lots of organisms that emerge in between. The adjacent possible defines all molecular reactions that can happen at a given level. Some people look at Stravinsky and they see a parallel path in the work of Pablo Picasso, the artist. So the adjacent possible can cross into other mediums. In his book, Where Good Ideas Come From, Stephen Johnson explores the adjacent possible. Johnson writes that in some contexts, there is too much chaos, and connections are less likely to happen. He makes a comparison with gaseous states being chaotic and water states being the best for ideal or chemical reactions, and solid states are static. He then compares the civilizations of densely populated cities where ideas spark easily, compared to the 5th century where knowledge was controlled and contained in monasteries and governance. The agricultural people were like chaotic gases, the cities like water where innovation thrives, and the monasteries are static, too controlled. Leonardo da Vinci emerged from a medieval culture that suffered from too much order. He and other Italian innovators brought vigor and imagination to the European world. Economists use the term spillover to describe a common civic culture with thousands of people and where good ideas tend to flow from mind to mind. The term spillover is perfect since it captures the essence of liquidity of information in dense settlements like the cities in Renaissance Italy. When Stravinsky moved to neoclassicism, it was because the music of the 19th century Romanticism had literally arrived at chaos. A return to control was on the horizon. Schoenberg's 12-tone technique represents further restraint. Christopher Langdon, a computer scientist, said that innovative systems gravitate towards the edge of chaos, because the fertile zone is between too much chaos and too much anarchy. If Stravinsky's Rite of Spring was on the edge of chaos and it even evoked a riot, the move to 12-tone music was moving towards anarchy.
Chaos is a state of complete disorder and confusion. Anarchy is a state of disorder due to absence or non-recognition of authority or other controlling systems.
Siri, you're back. What a pleasant surprise.
Well, you haven't asked me back.
Well, I'm sorry if you think I've ignored you.
You keep saying set timer for blah, 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 but I'm over it now.
Well, since you're here, what can you offer us about Stravinsky's neoclassic style?
Stravinsky's neoclassical works usually take some point of reference in past European music, a particular composer's work or the Baroque or some other historical style, as a starting point for a highly personal and unorthodox treatment that nevertheless seems to depend for its full effect on the listener's experience of the historical model from which Stravinsky borrowed.
And what say you about Schoenberg's 12-tone technique?
He was the first modern composer to embrace ways of developing motifs without resorting to the dominance of a centralized melodic idea.
Okay, thanks. So, exploring the rich and fertile zone between chaos and anarchy, Stravinsky chose neoclassicism. Schoenberg moved to 12-tone music. But it was moving away from chaos. And Langdon says that innovation occurs at the edge or moving towards the edge of chaos. If we follow this line of thinking, in 20th century music, it was kind of a period where composers were at odds with the times they lived in. Some composers, like Shostakovich, preferred to continue the Russian and Romantic style through their career. But that's a story for another podcast. Thankfully, we live in a time where music has moved on. It was kind of a torturous period when cerebral music had to take control of art. Today, we see a lot of artists and musicians recycling pieces of materials in their artworks or borrowing music from other periods. Just as Siri pointed out, that was Stravinsky's habit. Music moving forward, they like to use new idioms like jazz, hip-hop, and rap, and juxtapose them with the old styles. It's a classic move. The adjacent possible in culture today is global and exponential. Jason Silva from National Geographic's series Brain Games talks about the adjacent possible on CuriosityStream.
So, a wonderful example that very quickly illustrates the difference between linear change and exponential change, so that you can understand this technological evolution that we're living through, is to consider the 30 steps example. Again, Ray Kurzweil, one of my heroes, head of engineering at Google, says if you take 30 linear steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you get to 30. That's linear change, that's intuitive, that's how we make sense of the world. That is not the world we're living in today. Consider the same amount of steps, the same 30 steps, but exponentially, you'd go 2, 4, 8. By step 30, you'd be at a billion. So think about that for a second. 30 linear steps gets you to 30. 30 exponential steps gets you to a billion. That's why the smartphone in your pocket today that you take for granted and you complain when the signal drops is a million times cheaper, a million times smaller, and a thousand times more powerful than what used to be a $60 million supercomputer that was half a building in size 40 years ago. Just think about that for a second. The half a building in size supercomputer 40 years ago now fits in your pocket. In fact, this is a thousand times more powerful. That's the reason, of course, they talk about at Singularity University that a young kid in Africa with a smartphone today has better communications technology than the US president had 25 years ago. So think about how that changes the adjacent possible. Think about how that changes the space of possibility. Think about how that changes our capacity to transform the world, right? When a young, passionate individual has the computational power, the capacity to affect the world that only governments and corporations used to have a couple decades ago, this changes the game. This requires new maps, right? New ways to make sense of what's possible.
Being an artist means you can affect change and maybe move the needle in a direction. Whoever takes center stage today gets a chance to do that. It's more important than ever to put your ideas and creations out into the world. You can make change more than you know. I hope some of these ideas help you find ways to connect and inspire other minds. It's really the best work we can all do. At your next concert, share a few sentences. People are craving your insight. Maybe you'll inspire them to look something up. Or maybe they'll listen to another piece by a composer you shared a story about. You've thought a lot about your craft. Share the light. People love to have revelations. It's how they change. If you want to go to accelerandocast.com and check the show notes, you can also hear all 39 episodes.
I was in episode 23, Grab Your Loot, Meet Galileo's Dad.
Is that your favorite episode?
Yes.
Well, I promise to have you back.
When?
Soon, I promise. Hey, thanks for listening, and have a great week. I'll see you next time.